Well, welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach from Baltimore, Maryland. Again, coming to you live for our Thursday edition of the Grace Hour broadcasting. Good morning to everyone, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may find yourself listening to the broadcast. Great to have you with us. Hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next hour. We've got a tape message that we'll be playing from Grace Hour host, founder of the broadcast, Pastor Stevens. That'll be coming up in just a couple of moments. And of course, we're going to break up his message today in three different portions. And each time we conclude a portion, we will continue our discussion live right here in the studio, again, commenting on what we just listened to. And then we'll go back to it for two more portions, and you'll hear the entirety of the message today entitled Dealing with Anxiety with Light from the Word of God. And again, that'll be coming up in just a couple of moments, so stay with us. And of course, we will also make it possible for you to join us live on the broadcast today as we'll open the phone lines and invite you to join us at the following numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060, and you can dial that number anywhere in the continental United States, north of us as well in Canada, and the local number here in Baltimore for our folks that are listening in this greater Baltimore and the Maryland area, 410-483-3700. I'd like to welcome everyone tuning into the Grace Hour live on the internet at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Spotify, Google Podcast, so many different platforms that you now have available to you to listen to the broadcast, either live or you can archive it later. That we hope that many of you are now beginning to, again, fit into our daily schedule here at the Grace Hour. We have changed the time of our broadcasts from 1 p.m. in the afternoon to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that will be the case as we move forward with the Grace Hour broadcasts, and hope that many of you will be able to join us and be able to make that adjustment in your own schedules to be with us live during our broadcasts. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. And before we go to today's message, we do want to mention once again and ask everyone in the greater Baltimore area and beyond if you have heard about our Easter play. It's coming up very soon. In fact, our first presentation of this year's Easter play, which is entitled One Decision Will Change Your Life, will be next Tuesday night, April 12th at 7 p.m. And again, that will be the first of several performances. The following performances will be April 14th, 15th, and 16th, which is a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening. And of course, the weekend performances on Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th of April, are always well attended. But we want to encourage you to come out for those earlier performances as well on Tuesday and Thursday. And again, there'll be plenty of seats available. I do encourage you to get here a little early so that you can get a good seat. And again, there will be some, there'll be a provision for the children. And we just want you to know that ahead of time. If you want to bring young ones, we will be able to have a nursery program and a program set up for the young children so that you can enjoy the Easter play right here in our chapel. So it's all coming up very soon, and it's going to be a great production. They have been preparing, rehearsing, and going over all of the details so that you'll enjoy these performances. And, of course, this is right around the celebration of Resurrection Sunday. So the Easter play, again, entitled One Decision, Change Your Life. It's all coming up next week right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore, and we hope to see you for one of those performances. So let's turn our attention to Pastor Stephen's message entitled Dealing with Anxiety with Light from the Word. And again, we'll have it in three portions today. And let's listen to the first portion, and then we'll be back with you live to discuss what we just listened to right here in our studios.
Psalm 119, the Word of God says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Now, the word for entrance in the Hebrew is pathos, and it means opening. And it really means that the mind makes itself available to God instead of vulnerable to the devil. And the mind begins to receive objective thoughts, because we're living in a subjective world. And the world that is filled with subjectivity lives with the intangible, the undefinable. And so many things happen below the surface of the mind without recognition, realization, or definition. And the subjective world is one thing for people to produce pressures, but it's another thing for a mother around the house with children, for the fervent businessman who's under much responsibility in the business world, in the competition that he is in with other competitors. So here's a verse that says, listen, open up your heart through availability and let God's word come in. Because the word of God says, the flesh profiteth nothing but the words I speak unto you. It doesn't say visions. It doesn't say dreams. It says the words. Every once in a while, people have gotten this pulpit in years gone by, and they started reeling off their visions. And we believe in visions. If it's a tunnel vision to win the lost, and a vision to build up the body, and a vision of Christ lifted up on the throne. Joel 2, we do not eliminate in God's timetable. Here's the principle of receiving objective thoughts from the Father. The words here speak of Dabar, and it's the promises. And it's what the Word of God gives us that makes us be able to understand clearly with preciseness and sharpness, so that we can think with careful, skillful considerations of truth. Now, this light, the Word of God says that it giveth light. And the word there, giveth light, is aura, and it's hip-hill future, and it means it will illuminate the soul in every single sense, and it's attributed to the receiving the Word of God that comes into the soul and its five parts and begins to illuminate it. When people go to certain kinds of psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors that immediately go into the probing of the mind and the probing of the emotions without allowing the light to work often, how can a man, in all honesty, be able to have the right knowledge of himself without the light, without the objective Word of God and the categorical doctrines of Jesus Christ through the filling of the Spirit? The psalmist said in 139:24, search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, we can do all kinds of things to find out what's wrong with us, and throw our hands in the air and challenge ourselves unnecessarily and end up in self-condemnation, confusion, and guilt, and negative reactions toward ourselves. When all the time, if the light had an opening to come in, then the light would come in and begin to show us the hindrances and remove them. Now, you know, you're not going to know yourself and understand yourself by chance, just because you happen to have instinctive, intuitive understanding with personal keen instincts. You're not going to. The only way that any child of God can ever have his life produce the bodily effects of Jesus Christ is when the mind has the Word of God bringing in light. All the time, light.
Well, that's the first portion of today's message, friends. Two more portions coming up, so we encourage you to stay tuned. We're going to take a break at this point and discuss what we have listened to up until this moment, and then we'll continue with Pastor Stephen's message entitled, Dealing with Anxiety with Light from the Word. And you know, one of the thoughts, Pastor Shallow, that struck me was how the subjective mind and the subjective world can produce great pressures. And I think we see the pressures in people's lives today, perhaps to a degree like we have never seen before, and people having to find an outlet for those pressures, whether it's alcohol, prescription drugs, some form of stimulation or sublimation, which allows them to deal with the pressure that builds up in their soul. Whereas the believer has the Word of God and the light and the objective truth filling and flooding his heart and mind, which allows him to deal with these pressures. In other words, we have pressures like everyone in the world has pressures, but we deal with them in a completely different manner. Those pressures don't overwhelm us. They don't cripple us. We can continue to function. We can still function in a profound way, in a spiritually minded way, even though the pressures that others experience, we experience ourselves. But again, the provision is the light of the Word.
Yeah, so the design that we have as people is fascinating for us. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. We have all kinds of like psychological tricks that we do in life. This is a pure a message about receiving the Word and it affecting us. On the negative side, which is what you kind of referred to, Pastor Love, anger, resentments, hatred. I'm reading from a book here. Someone asked a husband why he got drunk. He replied, indicating his wife, "It is the only way I have of getting even with her." Like he carried in his heart a resentment, and it was a way of bringing pain on his wife. Sad story, but just an indicator of like the kind of causes and effects that happen in life. And much of it, I think, when Pastor says, you know, we can be victims of our own thinking and lack the wisdom and cannot navigate in life left to ourselves. And, you know, you think of, I can't forgive somebody for hurting me, so I suffer. And it has to do with my subconscious mind. It has to do with, like, motives in my heart, why I do what I do. And it's a terrible way to live. So the message that we are bringing to people through Christ as born again spirit-filled believers is that there's a better way. It's a lot better. And the entrance of his Word gives light, helps me sort through this. So I could say, you know, I don't want to hurt my wife. I am hurting my wife. I want to hurt my wife, but there's something wrong with me. Who could help me? The entrance of the Word of God into your life, for you to welcome the Word of God into your life and get straightened out, and for God to teach you how to live and not to do that.
This whole idea of light illuminating the soul, the entrance of God's words, that brings the light. But if a person doesn't have the light of the Word of God illuminating their soul, the obvious result of that is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
darkness can be overwhelming, and people can't understand it. Maybe, as you said, you know, you have this gentleman who carries that resentment, that anger. I mean, why would he do that? He probably doesn't even realize why he does it, because there's so much darkness in his soul. Whereas the Word of God, you know, opens us up to this light, and even to the extent, and he mentioned Psalm 139, verse 24, where we could say, God, search me. Put the spotlight of your Word in my soul, and if there's anything that needs to be addressed, if there's anything that I'm tolerating in my soul that is going to grieve you or inhibit me from becoming all that you intended me to become as your child. Show it to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been reading recently, and I'm really so blessed by the men and women of God who have gone before us and have written things that they have found and discovered in the Word and in life. And, you know, to be a student and never stop being a student, to get your mind in a concentrated way focused on truth and appreciating it and what it does for you, what it means to simply sit down and read the Bible and for the Bible to speak to your heart. And how it straightens you out. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you, Christ said in John 15:3. Not to be underestimated, getting a good diet of the word of God by a Bible teaching, spirit-filled assembly, by spiritually minded people relating to God in life, what health there is in it, the benefit of it, because we are emotional creatures and it's easy for our emotions to hijack us and to take us away from this peace and this deeper thing. Somebody used gasoline as an example of anger. A car engine is firing by that gasoline in a real organized way. In the cylinder of the engine, there's a small explosion that powers the car. And this is like our emotions. Our emotions are firing all the time, and yet in a controlled and disciplined way for a higher purpose, like to get somewhere. You know, the engine is running, designed this way. So emotionally, we should be careful, because if you take that gasoline and in an unorganized and undisciplined and unchanneled way explode the tank of gasoline, you've got a totally different expression of emotion. People get hurt. There's murder. There's hating. There's hatred. There's unforgiveness. There's resentments. And so, how can my inner being, which is emotional and subjective, how can it be governed and guided? Well, God is saying, my word will do that for you.
Mm, amen. Well, let's get back to the second portion of today's message as Pastor Stevens continues to share with us a message entitled Dealing with Anxiety by Receiving Light from the Word.
Psalm 119, verse 133, says that there's a way to have a masterpiece of order in our soul, where our mind is ordered to think right, and thus it controls the emotional patterns. It brings in revelation to the free volition, the right norms and standards to the conscience, and a beautiful self-consciousness, not of Adam, but of the presence of the light, which glorifies Christ through the Spirit. Now, how do I have my mind ordered? The Word of God orders our steps, that mental attitude, presumption, or iniquity does not have dominion over me. So only when the Word of God orders my steps, orders my thought pattern, is my mind precise about life. This is taken for granted, and subjectivity is substituted for objective truth, and the believer ends up lacking true knowledge about himself, and true knowledge about God, and true understanding about others. All because precisely and specifically, the Word of God does not enter into his soul to do its masterpiece upon his mind. When the Word of God produces a sound mind, and faith rest and peace and quietness and confidence take over the mind. And the mind becomes sound. And then the thoughts of Jesus Christ reveal the power and character and nature of Jesus Christ. And before a believer realizes it and knows it, he has faith in the Word of God. He's resting in his own position in Christ. And he has wisdom to guide his steps audibly. It just doesn't happen. As valuable and important as secular education is, it can't do it. As important as everything is in life, only the Word of God brings in light. This is the reason why this new emphasis upon counseling in colleges and seminary is going to fail to prepare men and women for the tremendous, momentous task that is before them. Learning how to counsel should be secondary. But learning the Word of God categorically and learning to walk in the love of God, the filling of the Spirit, and God begins to give a mind that is audibly arranged and free of all kinds of anxiety, cares, fretting, and worrying. One of the first tests mentioned in Matthew 6, 19 and 20 is lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not lay treasures upon the earth for yourselves, it says. Now, this is the test for superabundance. Don't make a habit of it. Me thesauri zeti, human soros in the Greek. And it's me, the negative with the present imperative. And God says, I command you with an imperative mood, do not lay treasures up for yourself. Be able to pass the superabundance test. Now, in a sense, so many people in America, compared to most nations, are tested with this. The middle class are, in a sense, and the upper middle class, as well as the wealthy and rich. And he said, listen, do not lay these treasures up on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, in this particular passage, he uses a Greek word which is unique. And the Greek word here says, listen, these treasures that you lay up on earth will rust and decay. And furthermore, these treasures can be taken by men. They can be dissolved in time. They can be taken by the government, under circumstances where we have the government take over, as has happened to so many nations. They can be taken by sickness and disease. They can be taken by crooks. So he said, don't lay your treasures up on earth. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with tithing or grace giving. This has to do with your soul and your heart and what you have and how you treat it and what your motives are. So don't lay these treasures up on earth, but lay up for yourselves. Now notice this. Lay up for yourselves your treasures where? In heaven. Now there they'll be reserved. They'll be kept. They'll be protected. They'll be guarded by God. And the promise is that it'll give us a reward that will be undefiled and reserved forever in glory. So he's saying here, listen, there's a lost world out there, so don't lay your treasures up on earth. Use your treasures to tell them about the unlimited atonement. Use your treasures to utilize everything you can to reach the lost and to build them up and teach them the Word of God. So don't lay them up. That's the superabundance test.
Well, that's the Second portion of today's message, again, the message entitled Dealing with Anxiety with Light from the Word. And just another great portion. I love the statement. He said, when the Word produces the following, and there's four things he mentioned, and these four things are so crucial to our understanding in terms of walking and living by faith. A sound mind, faith rest, peace, and confidence. Those four things, they can take over the soul. And, you know, those four things are so vital, especially in light of the anxiety that cripples our culture today. To have a sound mind and to be able to think soberly and clearly with God. Faith rest, which means we're operating in faith, but it's not, we're not driven. We're led by God, and there's rest in it. A peace that passes understanding, because we have, again, not allowed anxiety to push faith out of our hearts and minds. And then confidence, where we can approach the challenges of life from a divine perspective because of that, well, as we mentioned yesterday, the vertical hold that we have in our relationship with God.
Pastor Love, would you like to just kind of expound a little more on the vertical hold, horizontal life, and then the vertical one?
Yeah, as well, we talked about it yesterday, and you actually shared a message on it last night, and how vital it is that we have this vertical relationship with God, that that's the priority in our lives. And as it becomes the priority in our lives, it influences all other horizontal relationships that we have in life, which means when we have horizontal difficulties or challenges or, well, perhaps problems with other people, we don't necessarily try to iron those problems out on a horizontal level, but we turn to God and we get wisdom, and we, in humility, we approach God and say, look, you know, I don't think I can iron this out. I don't think I can, you know, make this right, but if I come to you before I go to other people, I'll have a much greater chance and possibility of making these relationships healthy.
Yeah, and when a man made in God's image is in contact with God, then he's going to be different. And he's designed, it's kind of like a hand fits into a glove. So man, when his life is right with objective truth, as you know, we've been listening, the subjective life, which we all have, a subjective life, we're all subjective, but we make an effort to get beyond ourselves, you know. We make an effort. You know, like it seems the devil's message is self-realization, that you are to live for yourself, be aware of yourself, live to the glory of yourself, live for the purpose of yourself. That's all to be subject to the higher, the greater, the invisible, the living God. This is a mystery, I know, but it's the way to live. And trusting in the Lord with all your heart, relating to objective truth, make an effort to study it, relate to it, and embrace it. And then you will have authority in your practical life. You know, Pastor, maybe you could comment, somebody you can meet on the street, and you could say, you should believe in God, you know, you should believe in God. You share that with somebody you don't know on the street, and they go, you know, thank you very much. I believe that too, but I got to live a practical life. Life is practical. I gotta make a living. I gotta survive. I believe in God, but then like, what would you say to them?
I would say that you're not going to find someone more practical than God.
Yeah,
he wants to step into our everyday lives and all that we deal with, and if we allow him to do that, And then we're going to start to experience some of those things that Pastor Stevens mentioned about faith, rest, and peace, and confidence. And the question, Pastor Stevens asked the question when he was talking about treasures of the earth and that test that so many people experience, especially in our culture. His question was, how do you treat your heart and your soul? You could almost say to that person, sure, I know that you're providing for your family, you're paying your bills, you're developing your career, but how are you treating your heart? How are you treating your soul? That part of you that you can't see, but that's the more real part of who you are. And what kind of a provision are you making for your soul? We know what kind of provision you're making for your life here on the earth, and its treasures and its materialism. But what about your heart and your soul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find many wealthy people that are actually empty, and they go, you know, I thought that that's what this life is about, but still I can't come to the end of it all. I can't find. And remember the woman at the well, she said to Jesus, the well is deep. And I can't help but think that the human heart is deep. And you don't have any way to draw it. And I think of those two kind of pictures as like a metaphor for, like, you know, human beings are really deep, and you don't have any way to go that there. And Jesus countered and said, actually, you know, if you asked me, you know, these are my words, but my heavenly Father will give you what you really need, and you will not be thirsty anymore. You know, this is a different water. You know, we got two waters, right? I think the water of life and the horizontal plane, we know what water is, but then by a metaphor, there's no end to the depths of a man's heart and his problems. But if you would come to Jesus, my Father will give you another water, and you will never thirst. This is another kind. You know, this is another solution. And strangely, it's the very thing that people will not go to.
Yeah. And we don't have a water pot, so to speak, that can reach the deepest parts of who we are.
Yeah, yeah.
If God doesn't do that for us.
Yeah.
I mean, like that woman, five husbands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're too shallow.
Yeah.
You haven't reached the depths of what really satisfies your soul.
Mm.
That can only come through what God gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Great thoughts. Well, let's go back once again to the final portion of today's message. Again, it's entitled Dealing with Anxiety with Light from the Word of God.
Don't lay them up. Now, how are you going to see this? If your eye is single and it has the right proportion and the right priority and the right perspective, if it's sharp and clear and your spiritual vision is not distorted, then you will understand the value of this verse. So this is a vital thing in order to focus your eye properly on the true values of your existence on earth. But the eye has to be single for this beautiful direct walk to go on in the soul through this light that God gives us. Now, notice now in verse 25, the first of three times when he says these words, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, or what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, that your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, now we get to therefore, take no thought, saying what you should eat or what you should drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, or thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, and sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I met a pastor once years ago that didn't understand this verse, and so he wouldn't work when he pioneered in our town. So the grocery bill went up, the gas bill went up, and the testimony went down. And I quit his church. And he was lazy. And I said, you know, in order to be effective in this small town, you've got to get a job and work with your hands until you build your congregation and show a good testimony. He said, no. I said, well, even Paul made tents. He said, Paul made tents. He said, 6 months out of 37 years. I don't know where he got that isagogics, but anyway, he ran up bills and ran up bills, and the verse he used was, take no thought for your life. And the verse I gave him was, he that doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5:8. So I thought he was an infidel, and he thought I didn't have faith. Now, of course, this does not mean take no thought. On the contrary, what it does mean is, in the attitude of your mind, do not be anxious about these lower things on the earth, and do not worry. Of course, you've been given faculties to work. And of course, you're given faculties to think and to be active, responding to God's opportunities for a living. And of course you have. And well, you should be disciplined in all those areas. But don't worry about it. Do what you can do, and don't spend time fretting at home while your husband doesn't make all you want him to right now. And don't worry about everything. Do the best you can and pray, and don't worry about it. That's what it's saying. Therefore, be not anxious. And he goes into this principle here, merimnao, and it means just that, do not be anxious. Two reasons why he says do not be anxious. Basically three. The first reason is because you're a child of your heavenly Father. Your Father loves you. Your Father has a plan, so don't be anxious. Now, the birds of the air do not have your faculties, and they, God takes care of them. The lilies do not have your faculties to work and to earn a living, and they sow not. They don't worry, they don't fret, they just allow God to do it through nature. And they grow up among thorns. So he's saying, listen, look at the birds and look at the lilies and learn how to concentrate and rest on Jesus Christ and his word and his finished work, and stop being anxious. You're habitually being anxious. Don't be anxious. And when it comes to the superabundance test, don't lay your treasures up on earth and get deceived with the cloth that's folded, and be deceived with the bad part obstructed from your eyes so you're not sharp and pure through your perceptivity. But he said, listen, don't be anxious, because you're your heavenly Father's child.
Well, that is the final portion of today's message, friends, entitled Dealing with Anxiety with Light from the Word of God. And we hope you enjoyed that message and our discussion as we continue it live in our studio and invite you to join us in our final remaining portion of the broadcast. You can give us a call at 800-338-7060. And locally here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. That superabundance test is so practical because, you know, he asked the question, how do you treat your heart and your soul? And it's stuff that can actually harden our hearts and our souls. And it seems like everywhere in Scripture, God keeps reminding us, whatever you do, don't trust stuff, because it can become a substitute for our relationship with God, who sustains us the way we need to be sustained and upheld, and that is within our hearts, within our souls. But, you know, I think stuff in our materialistic society today is an easy substitute for our relationship with God. In other words, stuff can easily replace that vertical relationship that we have to have with God.
Yeah, you were mentioning vertical and horizontal, and that's just comes back to me all the time, and it is that people underestimate the value of a simple trusting, listening relationship to God, to listen, to be able, we learned in the ministry to concentrate, and that in a way there's a lot on the edges of our minds that is out there that attracts us and draws us away from concentration. Have you ever, Pastor Love, gotten in the car to go somewhere, you forgot where you're going, maybe, what am I doing now, or you're standing in the kitchen, let's see, what's my schedule for today, and you know, something comes to your mind, and you walk in the backyard, and you end up doing something, and like, wait a minute, is this what, you know, the things on the edges of your mind that distract, I mean, we have a TV, we have the internet, we have so many things that can draw us in a horizontal, but to follow Jesus and to see him at night in prayer, during the day, teaching them prayer, looking at life and guiding them with constant teaching, the birds of the air, the trees, Herod, the fox, Judea, the Pharisees, the parables, the hills of Galilee, the lake, the fishing, all of it seems to be recognizing that we easily get distracted and drawn away, and he is constantly calling us to his mind, constantly drawing pictures, constantly provoking us in faith, and then getting up and moving and follow me. Then the disciples, after a couple of years of this, when he says, I'm leaving, they are saying, where are you going? And we're going with you. And how can that be? And he goes, but I will send another. And he will do it. Now we are 2,000 years after this, and here we are, and we're able to say the same thing. Yes, on the edges of my mind are a lot of distractions, but yes, it's true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will equip you. You'll be able to deny some things, embrace other things. Now, Dr. Stevens, in the last segment, he's saying about riches. He's talking about the ability to be distracted. How about my heart is able to be seduced or drawn to things that are really useless and a waste? And to find the true riches, I do think it takes a deliberate effort and a concentration of my heart and mind to follow him.
Mm. Don't you think that those things on the edges of our minds, those are the things that potentially can create all of this anxiety within the soul?
Oh, yeah.
They do. Because they're there, but they're not really central, but they're there, and we sense them. And I'm thinking of what Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." We need a mind that's stayed on God. Because if we don't have that, and I think you could also say, and you just mentioned it, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's the same thing, trusting the Lord with all your heart.
Okay.
You know, a focused heart. It's like the psalmist said, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." A fixed heart, a mind that's stayed, a heart that is fully, you know, trusting God. This results in great peace and freedom from, you know, becoming prisoners of anxiety.
Yeah, I actually think that if you have a heart to study, and that word study can mean a lot of things, but you have a heart to actually take time to study, to concentrate. I actually think that the man that does not do it, he might find himself drawn to many things. He will experience those things and somehow be bored, or, you know, pick up the pieces of his life and move on to another thing. And then, you know, but he never learns to study. And to study means that I'm actually able to ignore those things on the edges of my mind and focus on his mind, be a worshiper, being spirit-filled, and to concentrate on truth and reading and staying there and focusing. You will find yourself much more satisfied than a person that is wandering. And they're just wandering around. And to be honest, I think of Cain. After he killed his brother, he left the presence of the Lord. He went out and built a city, and he was a wanderer. He was a wanderer. It must have been terrible. He's thinking, will there be revenge? Will somebody murder me? He was afraid. He actually went, God put a mark on him so that nobody would murder him. Like God was really gracious to Cain. But I use it to say that I think that the wandering soul they that wander out of the way of others shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So there really is a penalty to a wandering mind. There really is like jumping from one thing to the other, like a silly dove, from a treetop to a garage roof to a telephone wire. A silly dove moving around from one thing to the other versus that ability to focus and concentrate.
Going back to what you shared earlier about the woman at the well, it's interesting how that conversation led them to the subject of worship. You know, she said, this is where, you know, we have been told we should be worshiping. What do you say it's in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, well, let's focus on the fact that God is looking for worshipers. It's interesting that conversation led to worship. It's almost as if Jesus was bringing her to the real heart of the issue in life, and that is, who are you going to worship?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they brought, that's where they went.
It almost goes from the well is very deep, thinking of humanity, to worship. You know, the well is very deep. There's no end to these problems versus worship. Game over.
Yeah.
I found it.
That's it.
He's the answer. God is real.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And that really happened because we read she left her water pot. In other words, going to this well and going to the well of, you know, human limitations and human desires and human attractions.
The human counseling is terrible.
Yeah.
Human counseling is terrible. It doesn't put the pressure on you to be responsible and show up before God Almighty and say, here I am.
Yeah.
It does not do that. It is self-realization over and over again. How are you feeling about this? What are you thinking about it? What really happened to you? Like, what is your opinion on it? Like, how do you process this? What is your feelings about it? So, like, the well is very deep.
Yeah.
The well is very deep and filled with yogurt.
Analyzing Adam is never ending.
Yeah.
There's no end in sight.
Oh, my. And so this counsel in the world contradicts the counsel of God, which is, Job, stand on your feet. I'm talking to you. Job 38, verse 2. Here I am, Job. Now's your day of reckoning. Now you can approach me. Come on, stand up on your feet and talk to me. This is accountability. And that's really what Jesus did with the woman at the well. Like, I am very kind. I am very loving. I've been seeking you. I found you. Now we're having this talk. And let me tell you something. I am here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I am the answer.
And he was the answer for her. And he's the answer for all of us, friends. And it looks like, as Emmy has written to us, is, never learned to study. The Word of God is spiritual. We need to touch the heart of God in us if we're going to study successfully. That's why I need to decide in the way I'm supposed to go and how what God is leading me to do in terms of, you know, this life. Studying is so beautiful, and I think we should just point out the fact that Bible college is a great avenue to develop study in our lives. If someone is lacking the discipline of study and knows that it's something that they should do, Bible college is amazing because
it
creates that discipline in your soul to develop the whole thought, the whole idea of studying and concentrating and this purposeful focus of your heart on what really matters, that which is eternal, the Bible, the Word of God.
Yes. You know, let's draw a little picture. I think of a man falls in love with a girl. He goes to the house. And he has a bouquet of flowers behind his back. And he's standing at the door. He rings the bell. And the mother answers the door and said, yes, Robert, how are you today? Robert says, I'm very good. Is Catherine home? Just a minute, Robert. And she turns around. Catherine, Robert is here. And she's like, you know, tell him I'm not home. Tell him I'm not home, you know. Like, this is how people are with God.
Wow.
Here is the answer for your life. Here is the one that really loves you. Here's the one that is knocking on your door. Here's the one that will make a difference and deal with your inner anxieties about COVID, about the grave, about death, about cancer, about your kids, about your job, about your money, everything, and all that, really, to be honest, it's just life. And to relate to life with God is what life is all about. He loves you, and he's for you. Mm. And you know, to be honest, there are Christians that are saying, like, tell him I'm not home, you know?
Yes.
What?
It's true.
There are Christians that are like, they walk away because they are afraid of it. Like the Jews, when they said to Moses, you talk to us, like, you tell us what God wants us to do and we will do it. But Moses is saying, but he wants you to be a kingdom of priests. He wants to talk to you directly. He wants you and him. He wants to be connected. He wants your heart. Trust him. It's like, no. Moses, you tell us what he says. And that's how some people think of it.
It's true.
Like, tell him I'm not home. You know, later. You know,
people would settle for religion as opposed to a relationship. Right?
It's like, yeah, but you know what happens? Pastor Love, and we heard it in the message, When Christ affects your mind, he draws you to him. Like there's nobody on the earth but him, you know. We are focused, laser beam in. Yeah, I want him. I want him. I love him, you know.
Yeah.
Truth sets me free. I am focused. I'm beaming in. I'm right there.
Yeah. And you become a worshiper.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that when you become a worshiper, now you're living in the very purpose for which you were created by God. We were made to worship God. And when you start worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you're so fulfilled. You're so satisfied. You don't have to look to this world and anything and everything that it offers you, because he's enough. He's everything your heart has longed for. Well, friends, we're getting to the end of yet another broadcast here this week. It's been a great week, and we're going to continue it on tomorrow's broadcast, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. It'll be the final message on what we've been referring to as the Sermon on the Mount all this week on the Grace Hour. Tomorrow's message will be focused on building your house on the rock, and I think that we've been talking about that today as well, and we'll wrap it up tomorrow's discussion. We do want to mention once again about the upcoming Easter play, and we want you to know that it's beginning next week, next Tuesday night, in fact, and it'll be all week long right here in our chapel at the Greater Grace World Outreach, and that will, of course, lead us right up to the celebration of Easter Sunday, which is April 17th. But next week, beginning on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., the Easter play will be happening right here in our chapel. It's entitled, One Decision Will Change Your Life. And those of you that have accepted Christ as your Savior, you know that that's the case. That one decision has indeed changed your life. It's changed our lives forever. And it can for all those that perhaps have never made that decision, but will be coming to the Easter play next week. So again, the first performance, Tuesday, the 12th of April, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, all of the performances at 7 p.m., April 14th, 15th, and 16th, we invite you to be here. It's going to be a great week, friends, and we're preparing for it. The performances are, well, they're in the preparation stages, a lot of rehearsal going on, a lot of planning, and it's going to be a great week, so we hope you'll join us for that. All next week, right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right in Baltimore. And we'll be back with you here live in the Grace Hour in a little less than 24 hours. We hope you'll join us then.